Okay, I'm joined in the studio now by a local lad, Dermot Clancy. Dermot is a 19-year-old athlete in the 400-metre hurdle. He's from Youghal. He's out there by Ard Sala in Youghal. He's currently training out at the University of Limerick, and he's hoping to get to Sweden this year in July to compete in the Under-23 Championships, and he joins me now in studio. Dermot, thanks for dropping in. Good afternoon and welcome.
Thanks for having me.
When I was talking to you off air there, you actually did a bit of work here before, did you?
I did, yeah, about 4 years ago when I was in transition year.
Okay, yeah. Where were you? Are we in production?
Doing a bit of research for the news. Research, okay. Mornings, yeah.
And how did you find that?
Yeah, it was good. It was a good learning curve just for like research and fact checking.
Now you're in, we'll come back to the athletic side in a minute. You're in UL. How's that going for you?
Very good, yeah. I'm in second year now.
Second year studying product design.
Yeah.
What took your interest in that?
I always loved doing woodwork and graphics and stuff like that, so it's kind of a combination. I get to design stuff, make stuff, come up with my own
ideas.
Is there
a lot of, like, you know, do you, as I used to call it when I was in school, technical drawing and all that? Is there much of that, or do you just do it?
There's a good bit, but you have to do a lot of it freehand as well, just kind of.
So prototypes and stuff.
Yeah, right? You have to do modelling and all that stuff as well.
With the old T-square and all that.
Yeah.
That's as much as I know.
Yeah.
It's an interesting subject. Is there a future in it in Ireland, or will you have to?
Yeah, there's a lot of jobs in it actually. Yeah, most companies have product designers because they're always researching new stuff and trying to come up with new ideas and stuff like that. So most big companies would have.
Well, I suppose it beats, you know, 19-year-olds are usually into, you know, computer designs, programming.
And
it's nice to see a variation as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good.
UL is a fantastic
it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Are there other people from UL up there that you know?
There's a few, yeah. There's a good people from public school that will be up there.
Okay.
I have a few friends I know.
And do you commute up and down on a weekly basis, or do you go up and
no,
down
I
every
stay
day?
Up there now. I stay up okay. there. Yeah.
Well, as a student, just after, you know, after beating track, as I say, pardon my pun, from the athletics, yeah. As a student, how difficult is it to, you know, survive financially and, you know?
It's tough.
Getting tougher as the years go on?
Yeah, because like you're kind of starting off with a bit of kind of financial backing like yourself, whereas by the time you get to second, third year, fourth year, you're doing it all by yourself really because you're trying to...
When you went back to Sheridan, like, are you going back to where you had started last year, or do you have to find somewhere new every year or what?
Well, I'm working in Limerick now at the moment in a shop, so working weekends there now, so...
Limerick is a huge city, isn't it?
Oh, it's massive, yeah.
Great rugby locality. Have you met any of the Munster lads?
You'd see them all the time because we'd be training in the same area, same gym. So you'd pass them every day.
Do some names dropping. Who would you be training with?
Andrew Conway, Conor Murray, all those.
Is Conor full training now again, is he?
Yeah.
Because there was talk about him prior to Saturday's match. There was talk about him. He was not back to full fitness, apparently.
Oh, yeah,
his
sure.
right side is...
Like, they wouldn't be in UL now at the moment because they're with the Irish team.
Andrew Conway had a good game on Saturday.
He did, yeah. He's always playing well, to be fair to him.
And as a young man, you know, studying in Limerick and training and working with these guys, would you have any thoughts of coming back and playing rugby here? Fine, tall, young fella like that?
I used to play rugby, actually, yeah, until I was about 16, 17. Okay. For Youghal.
But athletics took over. Did you play with Youghal rugby club, yeah?
Yeah.
Because you have the height. You're 6 foot?
Three, yeah.
You'd be a good stand-in for Peter O'Mahony, like?
Yeah.
So how long have you been interested in the athletics?
Over 10 years, I'd say, maybe. Okay. Since I was in primary school, so... I was doing cross country to start off.
And are you the first in the family to be interested in it, or is it a thing that was in your family?
The genes? First person, yeah.
Okay. And how proud are your family of you?
Oh, very proud, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And accomplishments to date, what have you achieved?
A few national titles in the 400 hurdles. I've few from cross country as well when I was younger. I've run for Ireland 3 times now.
In a college level or?
Two at like youth club level, like for the Irish team, and then one for a university international team.
What's it like to represent your country at such a young age?
Unbelievable, yeah. It gives you a lot of experience. Like you kind of have to treat it as if it's just a normal race, but like you just have that kind of pride that you're running for your country. Like
Who'd be your idol now in athletics in general, first of all, and then in 400-metre hurdles? Who'd be your idol? Who would you be aspiring to be?
Thomas Barr is actually my training partner.
Of course, yeah. Thomas is a... Is he back this year? He is?
Yeah, he's actually competing in the European Indoor Championships this weekend.
Yeah, he was narrowly pipped there recently again, wasn't he?
Yeah. He's running an athlon in the indoors. So.
But he's competing this weekend in the...
European Indoor Championships in Glasgow.
Yeah. I see that advertised. Yeah. And he's a good young fella, like, and he's relatively young, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's 26, 27.
Yeah. But he has his eyes focused, like, and he'd be a great hurdler as well, wouldn't he?
Oh, unbelievable.
Would he be 400 metres as well, or different?
He's 400 hurdles, yeah.
400. And does he do ordinary running then as well, no?
He's doing the 400, like, flat for the indoors, but... Generally, it would be just the hurdles.
And when you're running around the track there, like, isn't it an awful, like, why don't you just run around the track without jumping hurdles? Why do you,
I think
looking at you running around the track is tiring enough, but having to jump those, I call them fences, the hurdles. Are you increasing the burden on yourself? Does it take a special kind of, I know you're 6 foot something, but like, do you need to be built like that to jump these hurdles, or is it an added advantage?
It's probably not an advantage, but you don't need to be. I think it's just it's more technique, really, that you just kind of take it in your stride and not be jumping them, really, because we're always giving out about that. Not to jump them.
How do you get over them?
A
young fella your height, you could just step over them.
Exactly, that's the thing. We're always told to hurdle them, not jump them. So
when you started back all those years ago in athletics, did you just start road racing or park racing or track racing and then decide, God, I think I'll have a go at this. This looks interesting.
I started running for my primary school in the cross country. One of my teachers actually pushed me to do it because she saw me running in the yard or whatever, and she was saying I was very fast. So I started doing that, and I think I won the East Cork cross country or whatever it was. Then I started doing cross country a good bit. Then probably when I was 12 or 13, I switched over to track and field. And I was doing multi-events. So I was doing 5 events in one day. And it's kind of the accumulative points or whatever of the whole day.
Right.
And that's when I was doing kind of 800 metres and hurdles, like the sprint hurdles, not the 400 hurdles. And I kind of mixed the two. So
yeah, you mentioned cross country there. I suppose one name that I would identify when I was following the athletics, John Tracy.
Yeah,
you remember John? He had golden years that time.
Yeah.
And I'm a Middleton man, and there was great Father Liam Kelleher. Do you remember him?
I think so. Yeah.
He had a nickname because he was a priest and he was a runner, he was an athlete.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure if I can give you the nickname on here at lunchtime because I'd be afraid in case I'd insult anyone. But and I met him recently at a funeral, Father Liam, and he's still going strong. He was very instrumental in the community centre in Middleton that time.
Okay.
And she does a wonderful track and an indoor track there as well in the community centre Middleton. So you progressed into the 400 metres hurdles. Like, how do you, forgive my ignorance, but you decide to go, you escalate from the ordinary track running to hurdles. How do you determine 400 metres in as against, what, 250 or 1,000 metres or what?
So there's only two hurdle events in track and field. There's the 110 metre hurdles and the 400.
That'll show you my ignorance, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, but it's like, if you don't know, you don't know. It's 110 and 400 hurdles, and the 110 hurdles are very, like, specialised because you have to have the speed of a sprinter, but also, you know, the agility of almost a gymnast because they're 3'6".
The hurdle is 3'6", and you're 6'3".
I'm 6'3", whereas the 400 hurdles are only 3 foot. So they're slightly smaller.
Why is that?
Just because you're running a longer distance. It would be a bit insane to have them that high. But.
Now, because you're so tall at 6'3", like, back injuries, are you worried about back injuries at that height when you're running around?
Generally speaking, I haven't had a major injury, so.
Touch wood.
Touch wood, yeah. Like, you that's kind of most of the training. You have to look after yourself and stretch. And
is it like we spoke about rugby a while ago? I was personal friends with Donegal Callaghan and he's there, and he taught me one day. I was pitch side and he taught me, because I'd be into first aid and that, and he taught me part of their training is if you get injured, you act dead. You leave your body regenerate before you move.
Yeah.
Like, have you had many falls over the hurdles or what?
No, actually. I've hit them plenty of times, but I haven't actually fallen over them. So.
Right.
Yeah, if you hit them hard enough, they'll fall over.
And when you're running a 400-metre hurdle now, especially at this high-level competitiveness, like, are you just in the zone? Are you just watching your lane? If you're in lane two, are you just watching lane two? Are you worried who's right and left of you? Is that how you survive this?
You have to focus on yourself.
You don't care if Mo Salah is running next to you.
You have an awareness of who's around you and where you are in the race, but you have to focus on every hurdle, because if you mess up one hurdle, you're going to fall behind straight away.
Okay.
So it's all about you and the rest.
And to qualify for this under-23 championships, what's involved?
You must run a time twice to compete or qualify and be selected by Athletics Ireland. So
okay.
You have to run 52 and a half seconds for 400 hurdles.
52 and a half.
Yeah.
50. So that's less than a minute, 400 metres.
Yeah.
And jump how many hurdles in 400 metres? 10 hurdles and 400 metres in 52 and a half seconds.
Yeah.
I'm going to sleep. You have me wrecked, the thought of it. And how far off of that target are you right now?
I'm about 2 seconds from last year's races, so June, July last year. So I feel a lot faster this year. So.
Okay, and the under-23 championships take place in Sweden in July. Where in Sweden are they taking place?
Galva, I think.
Okay, yeah. Have you been to Sweden before?
I've been to Stockholm, yeah.
Okay. And it's indoor?
Outdoor.
Of course, in Sweden, you'd be inclined to run a bit faster, wouldn't you, with the cold? Outdoor in July?
In July, it'll be pretty hot, I'd say. It'll be 25, 30.
Does that help, the humidity, or does it?
Yeah, generally, if it's over 20 degrees, you'd probably run faster, because your muscles are a bit more kind of relaxed and warm, so.
And how big into the technology of the sport are you? You know, you seem to have a fairly good knowledge of the height of the hurdles and the running speeds. Does that play an important part in success nowadays in any athletics, I suppose, any sport?
Yeah, any sport,
the
really.
The science of it, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, a lot of people have been commenting the game of hurling is going downhill because it's gone so technical. In athletics, I guess you have to have a knowledge of the science of the sport, yeah?
Yeah, like you... We get tested regularly enough in UL, actually. So we do nutrition tests and we do strength and speed tests and stuff like that. And we take them every 3 or 4 months. So that
really?
We,
that frequent?
Yeah, so that we can see how we're doing throughout the year and if we're improving or if there's something we're lacking in that we need to improve on or whatever.
And of course, I suppose another reason for the testing is the doping as well, isn't it?
Yeah, so at my level, we wouldn't get tested for that kind of stuff because we're not running exceptionally quick or whatever. But for the likes of Thomas now, he'd get tested regularly enough because he's running Olympic standard times. Yeah.
Do you aspire to going Olympic standard at some stage?
Yeah, the goal is next year, but if not, it'll be 2024 and 2028.
But realistically, you'll be hoping for a place in 2020?
Yeah, I am very young, I'm only 19, so to go next year would be unbelievable, but if not, I have four more years and 8 more years to...
How does a 19-year-old, 6'3" lad from Youghal, working in Limerick, going to college in Limerick, training in Limerick, how do you fit in a social life? Is there a love of your life? Or
I have a long-term girlfriend, 3.5 years now. So
okay. Is she Limerick or Youghal?
She's from Dungarvan, but she's in...
By God, you did well there.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lad from Youghal, studying and training and working in Limerick, meets up with a girl from Dungarvan.
Yeah.
Where did you meet? Was she running after you or were you running after her?
I was running after her, probably, yeah.
And is she into athletics as well?
Not at all, really, no.
Really?
No.
Is she in college with you?
She's in college, yeah. She's a year ahead of me.
Okay.
So she's doing law and accounting in UL.
And law and accounting, oh, that's nice.
Yep.
So you'll have an accountant and you'll have a lawyer all in one when you make it big.
Yeah.
And you're doing product design. That's a handy combination.
Yeah.
And that's going well?
Yeah.
Fully supportive
all,
to you?
Yeah, all good.
Because I guess you'd have a fairly meticulous and strict diet as well for that, would you?
Yeah, yeah. So, like, say if I'm at her house now, she knows that I have to eat healthily and not be eating pizzas or all that kind of stuff.
What's her name? Because we have listeners in Dungarvan. Give
Paulina,
her a shout.
Paulina.
Good evening, Paulina. Good afternoon down Dungarvan.
Yeah.
You'll have them back down in a few minutes. I won't be long more. As we all know, competing in any sport costs money. You've recently set up GoFundMe page, is it?
Yeah.
Talk us through that.
Yeah, so I've set it up on my Facebook page, Dermot Clancy, and I'm just looking for any kind of support I can get in terms of travel costs and entry fees to competitions, physio, all that kind of stuff.
Because there is a lot of costs involved, because obviously because you're an amateur, you don't receive any aid or, you know, it's all self-sufficient really and self-providing. So obviously there's travel costs, there's the training, the nutrition, all your coaching, everything, and then the flights to and from it and everything. Yeah. It's costly, isn't it?
It's very costly, yeah. Pretty much, like, I'd say 80% of what I earn goes into athletics, and then the rest is...
So poor old Paulina rent. Must be feeling way unloved, is she?
Look, she understands it. She understands.
I know, yeah. Well, obviously, she's a good support. And that's important as well, that you have support from your loved ones and your family, yeah?
Because
obviously, I can see it. I can see the enthusiasm in your face. You like what you're doing. It's a passion for you.
I wouldn't be doing it if I didn't.
Yeah, and that's... Well, it's the same with me here. If I didn't enjoy, and if the buzz went out of what I do, then sure, there's no point in doing it.
Yeah.
So July for Sweden, when do you need to have this competing factor done?
I think it's June 28th is the deadline.
That's the cutoff.
Yeah.
If you don't make it, what happens?
If I don't make it, I don't make it. But after that, there'll be national championships and stuff like that. So
there's always a plan.
Yeah, it's not
B.
the end of the road. And then next year, again, I'll go for...
The Olympics.
Olympics and European Championship, the senior championship.
So there's always a plan B, isn't there?
It's always a plan B, yeah.
And that's important too, I suppose.
Sure, you want to go for plan A.
Have you gone for selection and been refused? How hurtful is that?
I have been within a tenth of a second.
Oh my God. Before, that's worse than Thomas Baer.
Yeah.
He was not as close as that there. Was it recently or last year, remember?
At the Olympics, he was, I think,
was it 3/10 or something?
Something like that.
It was ridiculously
from
close.
A medal,
Is that harder to accept in?
Yeah, fourth is probably the worst place you can call.
Yeah, because no one sees fourth, should they don't? Yeah, they see first, second and third.
First, second and third.
Have you been on the podium and received medals, like, for Ireland?
At the University Championships the Celtic Games. So. I came fifth at the other one. So.
Right. It's a fantastic story, and listen, thanks for dropping in. So we follow Dermot Clancy on Facebook, and you have your GoFundMe page there.
Yeah, it's linked.
Any donation at all will be
anything at all
gratefully received.
Yeah.
How much on target are you at the moment?
I just set it up there recently, so
It's a novel idea to, fair play to you, and that shows the passion you have for the sport.
Yeah.
It's a novel idea to raise the funds for set up your own GoFundMe page. Mm. And you know, I like the way you contacted us and you asked us if we could give you a help out. We're delighted to do that.
Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure. And look, when you get to the Olympics, you can give CRY a big shout out.
I will.
When you're on that podium receiving the gold medal.
Anytime.
Continued success, sir. We hope you stay injury free, number one. And I'm sure the way you're looking after yourself and looking after your body and looking after your diet, I'm sure that'll happen.
Yeah, and hopefully
it will happen for you this year. And let us know if it does, and we'll be watching out.
I will do.
Because I'm sure they'll be televised, won't they?
They will, yeah. They'll be all over the place.
All right. Is there anything else you want to sum up with before I let you go?
No, that's everything. Thanks for having me.
Dermot Clancy, an absolute pleasure. And I'm going to get your autograph now before you go, so that when you become famous, I can say, I interviewed that dude on my radio show.
No problem.
Thanks for dropping in. Dermot Clancy there, what an absolutely inspirational young man. 19 years of age he is. He's out there in Ardsalla in Yole. And he's seriously training for the under-23 championships in the 400-metre hurdles in Sweden coming up in July. He's Very close to the target at the moment. Look him up on Facebook, Dermot Clancy. He has a GoFundMe page there. Why not go on there and donate whatever you can, lads? We always say it. We're not asking for specific amounts. Whatever you can afford, support this very, very worthy guy, because he's here in the studio and you can see the exuberance and the excitement in his face. He loves what he's doing.